come out. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
I like
she's
to help when needed. And apparently, our guy Alex Strofe needs a little bit of help.
Yeah, I would say that's an accurate statement.
So the Brewers' magic number is 8 to win the division.
Yes.
And you have no idea what magic number means.
No.
Let's... So you are a sports fan.
Yeah.
You have decided to dive into the world of talking about sports for your livelihood.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you don't understand something as simple as magic numbers.
So hold on. Before we go any further, I say this often on our afternoon program, Kyle, Bruston, Orban. I say two things often. Number one, I believe the most important human quality is self-awareness. And number two, I believe the world needs more love.
How can that be your mantra? And that we have video after video of you being the most unathletic person on this planet, and yet you thinking that you can do these athletic feats.
And number
two, how is that your mantra?
The number two mantra I have is the world needs more love, Gabe. So I would appreciate if you would give me some right now. So that said, I was willing to be vulnerable with you this morning.
Okay.
When I brought to you the idea that the magic number does give me some confusion.
Okay. So what questions? I think it's pretty simple. I think it's pretty straightforward. Maybe I can help you. What questions do you have when it comes to the magic number?
There are 12 games remaining in the Brewers season.
Correct.
The Brewers' magic number is 8.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not need to win 8 games.
That's correct. So the magic number is a combination. So for this specifically, because we're talking about the division, so the magic number is a combination of Brewers wins and Cubs losses.
Got it. So the lead is 5 right now.
Correct.
Meaning, so somebody, I think it was Mary on the YouTube chat, tried to explain to me yesterday. So it's a combination of those two things. So, but it adds up to 163, not 162, to get the magic number.
Correct, because you need to clinch a better record than the Cubs.
8 plus 5.
Because the Cubs have a better record, or excuse me, the Cubs have the tiebreaker.
Right.
So you can't end up with that same record.
So 8 plus 5 equals 13.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers have played 150 games. 150 Correct. Plus 13 is 163.
Correct.
Okay, so that's math I can do.
All right.
Got it. So.
So it seems like you have it. Like
no
more questions.
No, Why do you do this to me? Okay, I'm a curious guy.
Yeah, but you have the answer.
What did Ted Lasso say? Be curious, not judgmental.
No, but I just
feel like you're being a little judgmental.
No, I'm just confused.
And I'm being curious.
I'm confused because it seems like you have this down.
I think so too. I'm getting better.
There should be no more questions.
Now the sad part is this is the second time I've had this conversation this week, so might be why. So Josh and I had this conversation yesterday on Mr. Irrelevant, very briefly.
All right, check it out, YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page.
When I asked this question to him though, Joshy, Mr. Know-It-All, his response was, I don't know. So I'm going to ask you,
okay,
because I like to think, as smart as Josh is, you're probably smarter than him.
I'm not smarter than Josh. Maybe I am in this instance because it's baseball-related,
so the follow-up
but Josh
question
is smarter
I had was,
than I am.
And yesterday, I know it was a Brewers off day, so it was hard, but I just used the hypothetical. Let's say yesterday both the Cubs and the Brewers played, or we can use this case, I guess, today with them both playing. If the Brewers win tonight and the Cubs lose tonight, the magic number equals 7 or 6?
6. Because it's a combination of Brewers wins and Cubs losses. So if both of those things happen, that's taking 2 off of the magic number.
So
I don't remember you asking that question either.
That's exactly what happened, Josh, I promise. So I'm looking at the...
Maybe I wasn't listening.
I'm looking at the Brewers magic...
Very likely.
Very likely. Tunes out when I speak. Great co-host. Looking at the Brewers magic number Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from 2 days ago because the Brewers have not won in 2 days.
Okay.
It says the NL1 seed's magic number, which I would believe is now like the magic-er number.
Yeah.
I believe is what they've dubbed it
most
over on WTMJ.
Magic number.
Most, okay, got it. The NL1 seed, the magic number is 11.
Correct.
So who else gets added into the math here?
So
Phillies?
So the 11 number is with the Phillies.
Okay.
So the Phillies right now are right there with the Brewers, just, you know, game back. So they're neck and neck. The magic number, I believe, for a bye right now is 6.
That's correct.
But those numbers, the 11 and the 6, are assuming the Brewers win the division.
Got it.
Because without winning the division, those other numbers are irrelevant because they don't, you have to win the division in order to have the right at a bye in baseball. Well, in any sport. You got to win your division in order to have a bye.
But those numbers are also changing while the 8 changes, correct?
Yeah.
Because naturally, when you get to that magic number, which would ensure that you're winning the division, those other numbers are now achievable.
So let's say...
Because they're technically not achievable right now without achieving the 8.
So let's say tonight, that the Brewers win, Cubs lose, Phillies win.
Yes.
So the magic number for the number one overall seed would be 10, because you're taking, right now it's 11, you're taking one off of that because the Phillies won, so you can't subtract that, but the Brewers won, so you subtract off of that.
Okay.
And then because the Brewers won and the Cubs lost, the magic number for the division is 6.
Okay, I think I get it.
Okay.
But
he doesn't get it.
No, I do get it, but here's the issue. I've been following the magic number since July.
I'm guessing it was a big number back in July.
Yeah, when it was like in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, it was a big number back in July.
And I think that's where the confusion rooted from, because I'm like, how do you even get here?
Yeah.
Every team is still alive in the National League.
I would not be following magic numbers until you get to like September. September at the earliest. Like when I start...
Sure.
I guess after the Brewers... So the first magic number, obviously, that you're worried about is winning or getting securing your playoff berth. And there was some confusion about that because you have tiebreakers and all that. So the Brewers weren't sure if they had clinched a playoff berth, and they found out that they clinched a playoff berth before they played on Saturday.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
But once you have that, then I'm paying attention to the other magic numbers. That's when I start kind of paying attention, when you're getting to single digits and actually getting close to locking up whatever you're in the race for.
Yeah, that's the hard part about the 162-game season, because it is such a grind. But it's felt like since I really opened up the Pandora's box of the magic number.
Yeah, don't worry about it when it's in the 40s and 50s.
Which was a bad idea
just,
by me.
And I know that Brewers Twitter account exists. Maybe you follow it and it comes up on the timeline.
So,
but just ignore it until September.
Okay, got
that
it.
That would be my advice for you.
But also, it's felt like such a wrap. And maybe it's not a wrap, and maybe I'm still being premature in saying that despite the 5-game lead with only 12 games left. But it's felt like such a magic carpet ride we've been on with this Brewers team, and I can't wait to talk to Jeff Levering in a bit about it, that I've always been like, okay, what's the realistic timeline? How do they punch this ticket? How do they punch that ticket? How do they punch that ticket? And it's still looking like they are in the driver's seat for all of those.
Well,
so
we pay attention to it, right? But for the Brewers, it's just another, they're trying to win this series, win 2 out of 3. If they just continue to do what they've done and
to your point, hopefully many more celebrations to be had.
Everything else is just going to take care of itself. We are going to talk more Brewers. Jeff Levering joins us next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But look, there's still plenty of good golf to be played. It is beautiful weather week. So what are you waiting for? Join a great place like I did. Join Wisconsin Country Club. No assessments, no food and beverage minimums, just the incredible challenging course, top-tier amenities like tennis, pickleball, and a pool. Again, I love it because of the golf course, but maybe you are somebody who has kids, want to go to the pool, want to take up pickleball. We've got all those great things at Wisconsin Country Club. I love the golf course. I love our practice area, driving range, 2 different short game areas, especially one where you can work on those 30 to 50-yard shots. That is just so important. Don't wait. Sign up today. Get started. WisconsinCountryClub.com. It's just a fairway away.
It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here!
Jeff Levering is brought to you by the Neurospine Center of Wisconsin. Go where the pros go to fix all your back pain. Visit them today at neurospine.com.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that. Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We always talk to our guy, Jeff Levering, each and every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, fellas. What's happening?
Now, what t-shirt are you wearing? Utah with an exclamation point? Oh, okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense. Utah, give me two. Like, what kind of shirt is he wearing that has Utah with an exclamation point? Because we can only see the top of the t-shirt.
Utah!
Yeah, our screen's a little truncated here. Utah, give me two. One of my favorite movies of all time, Point Break.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I just, initially thought you were a huge fan of the state of Utah.
A lot of Utah enthusiasm on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, we bring everything in the program on Tuesday mornings. It's all good. Go Utah.
And Jeff, now focusing back on the Brewers, it seems like there was some panic that I feel like I was getting from some of the fans who were texting me after the Brewers got swept. But I feel like Murph handled it perfect. Like, we've been swept like 3 times in the last 300 games. This is going to happen. I can't imagine a lot of other teams have only been swept 3 times. The lead is large enough. They bounce back. They win 2 of 3 against the Cardinals. I feel like this angst among the fan base right now, but I don't think it should exist. They're still playing really good baseball.
They are, and they have a game and a half lead over the Phillies, plus the tiebreaker in terms of the best record in the National League, which is a good thing. They still own a five-game lead in the division over the Cubs, even though the Cubs won yesterday in Pittsburgh. They're in good shape. You got 12 games to go. 12 games to go. It's a sprint here towards the end. You're playing against some good teams. The Angels are playing better baseball, even though the record wouldn't indicate it. It's a hungry team, guys that are playing for jobs for next year. And then you go down to St. Louis again. Then you've got the Padres, who are still going to be fighting for a division. And then you end the season with the Reds. And I think the Reds at that point are probably going to be out of it. But nonetheless, it's a challenge for the last 2 weeks. And remember, if you're fighting for those first two spots, you got to buy. Right. So you're going to have a week off if you get into those first two spots in the National League postseason. So you want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the season. That way you can carry that into the division series.
Obviously, celebrations never get old, Jeff. And this team has goals for more celebrations. So just curious, as we talk about what the last week has looked like, what's the temperature in the clubhouse from your perspective as this team gets ready? And I just got my lesson on magic numbers and how close they are to clinching this division and hopefully getting to the bye in that one seed in the National League. What's your pulse on the clubhouse right now?
The clubhouse it's been the same every day, it feels like. It's just there is a even keel relaxation, go out there and take care of your business every single day. It's a big part of what has made this team so successful this season, especially and in years past. But the emphasis is don't worry about what's down the road. Worry about what you can control, and that's what your performance is like today. I think that they handled the toast very well. Listen, we got ourselves into the dance, and off we go. But right, we have a seat at the table.
You bring up the toast. Has there ever been a classier celebration in a major league clubhouse? Because again, usually and it's become old hat now for the Brewers, which is still crazy to think about, you know, when you think about the era before this, when making the playoffs was such an accomplishment. Now they've done it 7 out of the last 8 years, but usually you got the plastic coming down over the lockers in the clubhouse. No, this was just a flutes in a clubhouse, Jeff? I don't know if I've ever seen this.
I think they needed some caviar, too. that's the only thing they were missing from that toast. But they've done this before, right? I think they did that in Miami a couple of years ago when they clinched a playoff spot. They knew they were going to win the division, so they wanted to save the popping the bottles for winning the division. Now, there is a school of thought where you celebrate as hard as you can, as much as you can, because you never know when those opportunities are going to happen. But I think the Brewers handled it very well. I think Christian Yelich spoke perfectly to the team afterwards and talking about, hey, listen, we have an opportunity to do something really special with this group because we're so close. That's the key to this whole thing. But the toast, I thought it was very classy. It was nice. It was not overdone. And the clubhouse staff certainly appreciated that they have to pick up all of it and get the cleaning crew in there 20 minutes after everybody left.
Is Rhys Hoskins the odd man out at first since he's come back? Just 3 pinch hit appearances. And I know Jake Bowers has been red hot, so they want to get him in the lineup as much as possible. And even though, you know, Andrew Vaughn's not driving the ball to the ballpark, he's still hitting it incredibly hard every time seemingly he's up. So does that mean Rhys is the odd man out?
At this point, yeah. I mean, Murph's going to ride the hot hand, and he's going to continue to do that, whether it's a left-handed bat or Vaughn coming off the bench and playing late, or Rhys Hoskins coming off the bench and playing late. Having all 3 of those guys available, I think, is really good for this team. And the most important thing, Gabe, is that Rhys has bought in. Like, he's good with whatever his role is going to be. He's just happy to be healthy and contributing to this team, because there's nothing worse than sitting on the bench and not contributing to a team when you've been around it for a long time. And he was a big part of it for the first 3 months of the season. For the last 2 months, he hasn't been. And he's seen Andrew Vaughn get hot. He has seen this team get exceptionally hot. And he could not contribute to that. So any way that he's going to be able to contribute to this team, he's going to do it.
I guess I'd push back. I think he did contribute to it with the conversations he had with William Contreras that coincided with William starting to swing the bat the way we thought. So, I love that about Rhys. Like, even if he doesn't end up on a playoff roster, I can't imagine him not being in the clubhouse or around the dugout, because he kind of has become a leader of this team.
He really has. And he's more the vocal leader of anybody else in that clubhouse. And it's hard for a pitcher to do that. It's really hard for a pitcher to be that vocal leader because you don't pitch every single day. It's got to be a position player. And for me, Reese has been that guy. He's the guy who has had the experience. He can get some red under his backside and he can tell you what's right and what's wrong. And that's okay. You need that in that clubhouse, but he's also got that sensitive side. He's the total package. He's a total package. And what a leader should look like, that's your guy.
Jeff, there's so many statistical outliers and wacky things about this team that fascinate everybody watching this magical ride. May 24th, that's before Memorial Day, is the last time Quinn Priester pitched and they lost the game he pitched in. Is that just the wackiest coincidence ever? I know he's been good. I know the offense has been on days he's pitched. But that is something that is so rare and odd to me. May 24th, the last time Quinn Priester pitched in a game and the Brewers lost.
I mean, that's the guy you want on the mound, right? Because you don't know what a loss feels like when he pitches, whether it's as a starter or as a bulk guy. I've never seen anything like it. It's so special what he's been able to put together. And the team just scores runs for him. The team just wins. Just straight wins. They have comeback wins. They do everything they can. And he's the franchise leader in consecutive decisions for wins. And if that's going to win you a lot of beers at some bar at some
point. Good point,
yeah. When someone tells you the most consecutive decisions won by a Brewer, and you say Quinn Priester, you are going to drink for free for a long time.
Where does he factor in, do you think, into the postseason rotation?
He's got to be in the rotation. He's either your number two or your number three guy. I mean, I'll spin it back on you. All right. So it's a best of five series.
Yep.
Me personally, probably go Peralta, Woodruff, Priester in some order. Those are your three.
I would agree.
Right?
Yep.
And with the off days are scheduled, you don't need a fourth starter until the CS because you play on a Saturday, off day Sunday, play on Monday in the division series, off day Tuesday to travel, and then the series resumes on the road. So you only need three starters in that division series.
Yeah, I'm right there with you because clearly Freddie is the first one you're throwing out there. I think you just trust Woody at this point, if him going out there and being the guy that you know he can be. And yeah, Quinn Priester, it's going to be his first postseason start, but I think he's earned that number three spot. I don't know if that can be debated.
Well, when you don't lose, kind of hard to argue with that. But, you know, one thing I'm fascinated to see come the postseason is how they handle Miz. But I've been so impressed with his poise and the way he's been able to bounce back if he has a rough start. His poise has been really impressive to me, Jeff, assuming you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I agree. It's you see the electricity that he has. You absolutely see it. And it's just a matter of refining it. Remember, he's only 23 years old. He's a young kid. He is such a young kid. He does not have a lot of experience in that lightning of a right arm that he has. So he's still refining that. He's still figuring out what it's like to be an everyday big leaguer. That's not just on the field. That's off the field. How do you take care of yourself? How do you be a good teammate? How do you get ready for your next start? These are all things that he's continuing to learn as the season goes on. I think the sky's the limit for this kid. What his role is in the postseason, we'll figure it out. But I know he's going to help this team tremendously.
Before we let you go, Jeff, what's going on with Trevor McGill? Do you think we're going to see him before the start of the postseason?
I sure hope so. I know he had a setback, and he looked really good in his last throwing session, but had a setback. So let's kind of wait and see. He had the off day. Nobody was around yesterday. See what he looks like when he comes into the ballpark today and how he feels after he plays catch. But that's a guy that you need in the postseason. There's no doubt. And hopefully this little two-week slowdown is going to be okay for him as he moves forward.
Well, I guess I lied. I got one more because you mentioned the off day. So what are you doing on off day? Like you've had a busy weekend, you know, you're gearing up for a postseason run. You had some other things going on, broadcasting some football. Like what do you do on the off day?
My off day yesterday consisted of taking my daughter to school. I went for a run. I came back. I started working on football this weekend. Oregon State is what I have this weekend. I spent about an hour at the pool reading a book, which was great.
What book?
And I went and picked All the Colors of the Dark is what I'm reading at the moment.
Okay.
Very good.
I lean on Josh. Josh is the reader of our group. So
know that one, Joshy?
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. Chris Whitaker, very good. And then I picked my daughter up from school. Then I took her gymnastics and then came home and had a normal night. That was my off day. It was lovely.
This sounds like a great off day. Sounds like you got everything in.
Yeah, pool day in mid-September ain't bad, Jeff. That's a good way to spend an off day.
Yeah, I needed it. I think everybody needed it.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate it. Looking forward to this Brewers push for the postseason, what they're already in, with hopefully a lot more clinching coming in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You got it. See you guys.
Jeff Levering joining us here each and every week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And again, Brewers, unconditionally relentless, brought to you by the NeuroCenter Spine Center. We've got more to get into. We've got the power rankings coming your way next. But first, I do want to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting somebody out to their home. But when you see the experience and professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. And I can attest to that. 100% can attest to that because they came in with the new front door at my house. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PillowWI.com today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Cheese It, the legendary snack cracker. It's now available as a frozen pizza. And as you expect, each crust a giant original Cheese It flavored cracker that's square shaped, because again, it has to be. That's what Cheese Its are, square. And they're fantastic. If you haven't had one, you can get Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni with one of the shortest bake times. You go from freezing to cheesing in as few as 8 minutes. What are you waiting for? It's from Palermo's. You know what they're doing when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza. So find Cheese It frozen pizza in your grocer's frozen pizza section.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All right, I guess I'm in control of this now.
You're the captain
boy.
Now.
Okay.
Do I need to give my personal feelings on it before, like Chewy usually does?
I mean, I think it helps. I mean, do you feel like they're inaccurate? Do you feel they're inaccurate? Any curious ones?
I've got one slight issue, but it's not one that I would file a complaint with the people at ESPN over.
All right, so I'm guessing it's got to be somewhere in this 9-10 range.
Yeah. The one thing we've started to do, which is now going to be a weekly thing, is where do you think the Bears are ranked?
Oh, I love that.
24th last week.
I was about
to
say, last week they were 24th.
It's got to be lower than that.
I'm going to say 26th.
I'll go one below. I'm 27th.
Gabe nailed it at 26th.
That's two in a row. I did terribly then with the rest, but back-to-back weeks I've nailed where the Bears are.
All righty, let's start with number 10.
All right, this is where I slotted my only 0-2 team.
That's a bad idea.
Kansas City.
No.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Kansas City fell out. Maybe the Colts snuck in here.
The Colts did not sneak in there. They are 14th. Number 10 is your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, my list is already blown up.
I would have thought they would have been higher. Yeah. I would have thought that Tampa Bay would have been higher.
The Texans might just be bad.
Oh, agreed.
Oh, sure, but like Tampa Bay's still 2-0. You know, I guess.
There are still Cincinnati is 12th at 2-0, and the Niners are 11th at 2-0.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Number 9.
I will say the Commies are 9 at 1-1.
I like that guess. I am going to go with the Rams.
The Commies are number 9.
You're good at
this. Another one on Gabe.
Well, because the Rams are going to be higher. They were highly ranked coming into the
season.
Okay,
then let me repeat my guess. I'm just going to keep rolling with the Rams.
You're just going to keep rolling with the Rams?
I'll roll them over to 8.
Number 8. I will say... I'll go with the Chargers at 8.
Number 8 is the 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh!
You told me it was a bad idea!
I know.
That's not fair. They're still in the top 8? Granted, I think both of the teams that have beaten them are going to be higher here, but Wow. Okay.
Kansas City's in trouble until Rashee Rice gets healthy, or excuse me, gets back from his suspension.
Yes.
And that's still four more games.
Yeah, they need to.
They get a reprieve
here
this week, but then it still gets tough for them the rest of the way.
All right, number seven.
All right, third time's the charm. Rams.
Chargers.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
I hate this game.
Number six.
Detroit.
You know what? I'm going to go Rams here.
It is the Los Angeles Rams.
Let's keep going. Come on. I got it from here. I got the top five.
In fairness to Strofe, I feel like the bottom five are always, you know, 6 to 10 are a little bit tougher than everybody else.
Number five.
Detroit.
Yeah, Lions got to be here.
That is correct. Number four.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore.
Baltimore is correct. Number three.
This is where it gets a little dicey because I put one team higher than ESPN probably did, or maybe they did the, they've actually crowned it. I have Philadelphia at three.
Okay, this is going to be the Green Bay Packers.
It is the Green Bay Packers at number three.
I bet you'll never guess where I rank them.
Number one.
You got that correct. Yeah, yes. So let's just flip that then. Philly at two, Buffalo at one.
Yeah, that is correct.
Buffalo at one. Okay, that makes sense.
I expected them, you know how they do usually on these power rankings? You make a splashy team jump way high.
Yes,
yeah.
I expected the Packers to get that honor because of two wins. Obviously, you can make a case why both the Bills and Eagles should be higher.
Yeah. I mean, the Bills, even though the Packers dominated their wins, to me, the Bills still have the best win of the season. Because Baltimore's still number four.
Yep.
Right? Despite losing that game, so the Bills have the best win of the season. So I get why they're up there. They dominated. They just kind of sleptwalked their way because the Jets are a bad football team. Just kind of sleptwalked their way through that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that seems about right. What was the, where did you have the issue, Josh? You said you weren't going to file the complaint, but you had a little bit
Chiefs
of
Chiefs at eight, right?
Yeah, the Chiefs being there really at all. Like, we have to take two losses as, like, 0-2, as we know it, is as close to a death knell on your season.
Yeah.
And it puts the Chiefs in a very precarious spot. I understand the consistently being in the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl portion of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like,
if a team's not dead, though, at 0-2, it's the Chiefs.
Correct. And I think the
Packers... It's still a hole they have to dig themselves out of, but...
I think the Packers have looked better than the Eagles in both of their two wins. But you're giving them the respect of, obviously, reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. And going on the road, again, going on the road at Kansas City, it's a tough place to play.
Definitely. Yes,
so
definitely.
Coming away with a win, like, I get it.
Yeah, I think until proven otherwise, they should be considered the top dog in the NFC.
The Arizona Cardinals are getting the exact respect they need. They are
17. Okay. 2-0, but way down there.
Well, yeah. I mean, Saints and Panthers ain't the most impressive wins.
Yeah, correct. Both those teams are 0-2.
That is correct.
Steelers at 21 at 1-1. You beat the Jets and get your doors blown off to the Seahawks.
Yeah, two middling teams, yeah.
You think Aaron Rodgers' swan song was to be the 21st best team in the NFL?
Okay, but Joshy, it's only week two.
You think it's going to get better?
I mean, it is Pittsburgh.
That's the game I think they could lose.
Yeah.
Because you're going on the road, prime time, Rodgers getting himself fired up.
Their defense can't stop a thing.
That's a problem. I will admit, that's a problem.
But again,
and this fast defense is going to make Aaron Rodgers look old.
We are to the point, though, in the National Football League where we give Mike Tomlin-led team the benefit of the doubt, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a competitive team.
8-9, 9-8, 10-7, somewhere in that range.
They're going to be a competitive team. That's who they are.
Josh, he probably thinks they're going like 3-14.
And look, I understand that the narrative now is just in the NFL, well, you can't really take in consideration what happened the first 2 weeks. So look at the Saints last year. They scored all those points. First 2 weeks, they were 2-0. I think we all knew that the Saints were fraudulent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like watching these games, you kind of get a feel of who's good and who's not.
Definitely. Yes.
Even just if like it's preseason.
Just like the way we know the Cardinals, even though they're 2-0,
yeah,
not going to be a team anybody's worried about.
I've got one great. I'm an Indiana Jones believer.
I think we're giving them the proper respect.
You said they were where, 12th?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm okay with that. But
so far,
more impressive than.
No, he's 14th,
I thought.
Sorry.
But again, you beat the Dolphins, who are, You know, the awful. Odds are firing their coach, you know, the first ones to fire their coach, pretty high.
But that Broncos win was impressive.
They got fortunate.
Sure.
Because of an interesting call at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I think that's... Are they on my radar? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think 14 sounds about right for the Colts right now.
Let Daniel Jones be Daniel Jones. It'll happen.
Yes, it will.
But
it hasn't yet.
He is making throws on 90%+, like his first read. That's very difficult to
I'm just all in on the nickname. I love corny nicknames.
Oh, really?
That was rude. That wasn't nice.
What?
That wasn't nice.
I just
nice.
Asked a follow-up.
Oh, really? It's a follow-up
yeah.
now? Wow.
There's a question mark at the end of
Journalism
that.
Journalism 101 from Gabe Neitzel.
Yeah, there's a question mark.
Some of the
mark
best questions
are
the short ones.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, Indiana Jones. I think it's a great nickname.
I mean, at some point, I guess maybe I learned my lesson from Sam Darnold last year because I was with Joshy. Like, when Sam Darnold, what he did the first 2 weeks, like the way Daniel Jones has, like, okay, he's Sam Darnold. Yeah. Let's calm down.
But then we didn't calm down.
It took me until about November to go, all right, I guess this is for real.
Yeah.
But then he had a really bad game, and it's like, oh, okay, here we go. Now
he's still capable of seeing ghosts.
The reason they didn't advance in the playoffs was largely due to Sam Darnold.
Oh, yep. He cost himself a lot of money in weeks 18 and then in the wild card round.
And it seems like now, through 2 weeks in Seattle, he's just kind of middled. He's an average quarterback.
Which is better than what he was.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
He was a bad quarterback.
Yeah.
He's now an average quarterback.
No, he's an average quarterback.
I think the person who deserves the most credit for the Colts' success is Shane Steichen.
Yes.
That
I agree
is
with
very
that.
Evident.
That's a heck of a response for a first couple of tough years.
Same way Kevin O'Connell was largely the architect behind Sam Darnold. I think Shane Steichen deserves that credit as well.
I agree with you. Packers at 3, underrated.
Kevin O'Connell's going to be tested now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Best of luck with Carson. If he does it again with Carson Wentz.
Then I will stop my complaint of Kevin O'Connell has won a Coach of the Year award and Matt LaFleur hasn't.
If he does it again with Carson Wentz, they need to get rid of Coach of the Year award until he's done coaching.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
You should probably just go to him in perputity.
Yeah, that's. I'd probably be okay with that.
Because you do it with Sam Darnold and then you turn around. But if you make Carson Wentz.
Is that a dumb gripe of mine?
Yes.
It upsets me that Matt LaFleur, who I believe is to be one of the best five head coaches in the National Football League, has never won the Coach of the Year award.
Yeah, it's a pretty useless award.
I agree.
I mean, I think Bill Belichick won one.
Let's give it some usefulness.
Bill Belichick is one of the... Bill Belichick, however you want to cut it, is one of the two best coaches of the Super Bowl era.
That's correct.
And he won, I think, one.
Yeah, and
one more than Matt LaFleur.
The active Browns coach has two of
Kevin Stefanski is one of the players.
Yeah, so
it's a joke award.
It's more about what your expectations and overshooting those expectations. And the Packers always have high expectations.
Fair.
I don't know if Mike Holmgren ever won one. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think McCarthy did.
I don't know if the award existed back then.
That's very true. Yeah, it could have. Yeah. And if it did, I have no idea if he won it. That's all I'm saying. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. We've talked about the Jewelry Center for years here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And the reason why is because it's the best place to go. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for, the Jewelry Center has you covered. But what separates them, in my mind, is the helpful team that Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together. Whether you stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, their helpful team always going to point you in that right direction to make sure that dream ring comes to life. Maybe you have an idea, you want to browse on your own, then get the guidance from them. Maybe you don't have an idea. Look at our Pinterest page. Bring in some of those ideas, and that helpful team is going to help you out. Shop online, shoptjc.com. Stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you go to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But she doesn't know. Every now and then, I got the blammer coming up, and like, I'll let you use my tractor for two of the blue things. Which I think's a pretty good deal, me in trouble. Right.
You got a Viagra ring?
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's why I've been telling you about Mantelity for years. It has worked for me and it can work for you. Okay, so what is Mantelity? They help guys with low testosterone. How do you know if you have low testosterone? Are you groggy, tired? Just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy, not even just to get through the day, but attack the day the way you once used to. All signs of low testosterone. Easy to figure out if it is. Go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio. Book an appointment. Go through the process. If your levels are low, you get to work with Mentality and get a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. Go back every 12, 13 weeks. Make sure your levels are where they need to be and make sure that, you know, again, the dosage is where it needs to be. Increase strength, shake fatigue, sleep better, lose weight with Mentality. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more, mentalityhealth.com/radio. Singular poll today on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Is Alex Stroph lazy for skipping movie watching day every Tuesday during his filmmaking college class?
Let me guess. 95% yes.
82%.
Okay, better than I was anticipating.
Okay, is there something about sitting in that chair where they just start declaring victory even though they're getting blown out, but it's not as bad of a blowout as they thought?
I said I wasn't lazy. So I figured everybody would say yes, given the lack of context. And
what more context could we have possibly put into the question? If we took you, we're the big bad media that's taking things out of context here.
Big bad media. Yeah, you are.
Well, that's what everybody says. When something happens that they don't like after they spoke to the media, well, the media took me out
Dave
of context.
Oh, Dave doesn't like this.
And that's what you're doing.
I struck a chord.
Well, that's just what everybody does. And now you're doing it as well. Trying to claim that we took you out of context.
No, you didn't take me out of context. I think you lacked context.
You just didn't like the context we gave because it didn't put you in.
Well, it's the context I gave, actually, is the issue here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
See, paddle it back to me. I can admit wrongdoing.
Yeah, so graceful in defeat.
Yeah, you know me.
What could we have done better?
Nothing, actually. Okay, all right. I think I'm walking
See,
this one
he's,
back.
He's lashing out. Just like everybody else. Unbelievable.
It happens.
As a member of the media, he's just trying to say that we're taking him out of context.
Gabe, that's, okay, maybe that is what I said, but it's not. I didn't mean it that way. I apologize. I think you're very honest and diligent in your reporting.
No, we did exactly the way we wanted to do, and then you didn't like the results, so you tried to take it out on us.
No, I thought the results would be worse, so I actually do like the results. I thought it was going to be 95% yes. It was only 82% yes, so I appreciate that from the very few people that voted no. I'm not lazy for skipping college classes to watch movies.
I didn't even think that we had those types of classes at Platteville. Maybe we did, and I just wasn't aware of them.
Yeah, that was part of my media studies major.
When TC was an intern part-timer in ESPN Madison, he had like a class on The Wire, which I would have loved. The Wire's
awesome.
One of my favorite shows of all time.
Interesting.
We just never had those.
All right, this was fun, Gabe, for the most part.
All right, we'll do it again on Friday.
Eastbound 894, we have a crash right about at 60th Street. It is off on the left shoulder. Watch for backups coming in from just about 84th Street to that point. On the westbound side, we have slowing from Loomis all the way through the Hale interchange, swinging northbound all the way up to National Avenue. Eastbound 94, watch for backups out of the Zoo all the way through to 35th. The westbound side of 94 backing up from 17th Street all the way through to about Mitchell.